Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. It is Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. This week, a back-to-school week. Preseason games are in play here. Huge week for the Kansas City Royals that we will get into as we make our way through the show. Much more. Three different text giveaway contests for you today. We're looking forward to as well. The IHOP hotline is open for you, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. That's 869-1240. That's where we find Jad Chambers manning that for us today. You can also leave us your video comments on our streams. You can get in touch with us on social media. Of course, on 12 News Connected, you can see us. You can send us messages there. You can send us messages if you're watching us on Facebook, YouTube, or X as well. Glad to be with you today. Tommy, how are you this morning?
Man, I'm good. I'm loving the weather outside, loving the weather this weekend. It was almost fall-like, felt like almost football weather outside, at least on Saturday it did. So enjoying it. Glad to be back here on a Monday, ready to get going.
Yeah, we got a lot to react to. The Chiefs get their first preseason game in the books. We can talk about that. I think Chiefs fans are a little leery of that outcome. Not the game itself. Nobody cares about that. 26-13 loss to Jacksonville and, C.J. Beathard going wild. It's not so much that as a critical injury in the game we'll get into. The Royals split the series with the Cardinals. That's fine. They're right where they were kind of to start the weekend. Four games back of Cleveland in the Central, a half game back of Minnesota going into the series, the three-game series in Minnesota to begin this week. And they're looking pretty good in the wild card, too. They gain a little bit of ground. So we'll get into that as well. But, Tommy, in the spirit of we've got a little football back in some form or fashion, we get preseason game number one in the books. The starters played pretty much what they played last year, which was, a couple of series and, you know, Of all of the things that happened in the preseason, I think there's a pretty good case that the Chiefs suffered the worst news of an injury. Now, it's in the short term, we think, but Hollywood Brown, if you didn't see it, his first catch of the game, the first play of the game for the Chiefs, comes down hard on his shoulder and basically does, if you recall, what Tyreek Hill did a few years ago And so the recovery could bleed into the first game of the season. So that's troubling. That stinks to have him out of practice. But as far as I recall, Tommy, Tyreek Hill reacted fine in recovery. The bigger problem is, I think that from everything I'm seeing, the possibility of re-injury there is fairly high. And just like Tyreek Hill, it's a you have to go to the hospital kind of an injury, which is scary, but it's a broken collarbone and a broken in a way that's a little bit dangerous. But I think the recovery is about like a broken collarbone.
Remember how excited you were, by the way, about seeing Patrick Mahomes and the new wide receivers connect in this very first preseason game. Yep. I mean, that happened. You know, it happened the very first catch of the game from Hollywood Brown. And then he went down, it's hard for me to, not think like, hey, this absolutely could have been avoided. Not only could have it been avoided, but it should have been avoided.
It was the first play. So you just don't think starters should play.
There's no reason.
Just don't play your players in the preseason. That's your answer.
Don't play the guy that you signed to, be a free agent coming in.
So he just doesn't play in the preseason.
At least he doesn't play in preseason game number one. I mean, I just don't think that there was really much of a reason.
It could have happened in preseason game number three. What's the difference?
It could have, but it happened in preseason game number one on the very first catch of the game from Hollywood.
So now he'll have more time to recover and get to the first week of the regular season.
Well, I think that's a stretch if he's going to make it all the way to opening day.
So it's a stretch to say he got hurt in game one of the preseason, but wouldn't get hurt in game three of the preseason or practice.
I think it would be a little bit different too, by the way, if Hollywood Brown didn't have a history of injury. And so, that's part of the reason why he hasn't fully gotten to probably what his potential has been in the NFL up to this point in his career. And a lot of it comes down to the fact that he's been injured off and on throughout the course of his time in the NFL when he was with the Ravens, the Cardinals, and of course now with Kansas City. So you know that he's kind of got that, that fragileness to him. That's one of the knocks on Hollywood Brown. Why try him out there? I don't feel like there was any kind of net benefit having him out there in game number one. Even if he had played for a few snaps.
Well, don't play him then. It's not game number one or game number three, right? It's just either play him in the preseason or don't.
I don't see a reason to do that. Plus, like, they've got a handful of other wide receivers that you need to see probably more from than what you need to see from Hollywood Brown. What's he going to show you that you don't already know from him? Like, he's very well documented on what his athleticism is, what he brings to the table. This was something that, again, in my mind, absolutely should have been avoided. It was unnecessary. And now you've got a guy that, could have been and probably, still could be as the season goes on, a pretty good threat for the Chiefs and their receiver core. Now you've got him on the sideline and you're not sure if he's going to be ready to go for week number one.
Well, it'd be week number two, if not week number one. So, you can make the case that starters shouldn't play in the preseason. That's fine. I don't agree with it, but that's fine. But to say it's because he played in the first game doesn't make any sense to me. So if you're – look, here's the thing for me. Andy Reid thought he needed to play. That's why he played. And, I mean, if Andy Reid thinks a new player and a new offense needs to get out there with his quarterback and play, then okay, that's fine with me. He got hurt. Guys get hurt all the time. He gets hurt all the time. But are you of the belief then that – I mean, how do you make that decision? Anybody with an injury history doesn't play in the preseason. Everybody else is okay to play. I just – like, what is your thought on the preseason then? Just no starters play? How would you do it?
Well, I think that in a skill position and in a situation where you've got this brand new wide receiver that you have signed out of free agency to help bolster your wide receiver core, I just don't see a need to trot him specifically out there because you already know.
But Andy does see a need for.
That's fine. And he got injured on the very first play of the game. So, I mean, if that's what Andy Reid decided that he needed to do, well, now you've got Hollywood Brown on the shelf for who knows how long. And you mentioned the risk of re-injury. That sort of thing absolutely happens with an injury like that. And so, I think that you've got to probably play it safe and be a little bit cautious with Hollywood Brown returning and what that looks like. You probably have to ease him back in there. I just don't exactly know what the prognosis and the timetable looks like for this potential injury. I know that Tyreek Hill suffered it and was back within a month. I just think that this was an unnecessary risk that the Chiefs took. Especially when you've got, you want to talk about Justin Ross and Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. And, you know, there are a handful of other wide receivers that are there that are battling for roster spots to provide depth on this team in the wide receiver room, which, by the way, was so bad last year, and they signed Hollywood Brown to help make it better this year. And now you probably won't have him for the start of the season. I would have much rather seen a bunch of those guys, which we did to an extent, but we didn't see Kadarius Toney at all in the preseason game, which I think is a storyline in and of itself. But at the end of the day,
and hurt.
You didn't need him. You didn't need to have Hollywood Brown out there.
What I don't understand is you can't mix and match it. So I think you're saying, like, just don't play any of the starters in the preseason then. Like, just don't play them, right? Like, you just don't play any of them because they can all get hurt at any point.
But what I don't understand
is why you're saying, like, some guys' injury risk in a game, because the injury can happen in practice. It can happen in a preseason game. It can happen in a regular season game.
Sure, it can.
At
least a regular season game matters at the end of the day. At least that matters.
Guess what would have happened if he got hurt on the first play of a regular season game? He would have missed the same regular season game that he's going to potentially miss now.
The stakes are higher.
Guys, football players have to play football, right? You're absolutely right.
But in this particular situation, in the very first preseason game of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs, on the very first play of the game, you don't need to have Hollywood Brown out there knowing his past injury situation.
So just don't play him at all. That's fine. What would be the difference if he played the third? But say that you don't want him to play.
He shouldn't play at all then.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand. He specifically shouldn't play at all in the preseason. What about Xavier
of his injury
Worthy?
Risk and why does Xavier Worthy have a litany of past injuries that you have to worry about?
Yes, and that's a re-injury risk.
Does he have a litany of injuries throughout the course of years over time? Because Hollywood Brown does. Hollywood Brown does. So wouldn't you want to save him up a little bit for games that actually matter? Because I would.
I think you're being too general. The injury that happened to Hollywood Brown has absolutely nothing to do with his injury history. It is a freak play that he landed on his shoulder because a guy wrapped his arms.
I'm not saying that that particular injury had anything to do with, like, his past injury. What I'm saying is that due to his past injury history, I think that's argument enough to keep him off the field in the preseason. Like, don't even put him in that situation. I don't think, like, you weren't going to find anything new with a guy like Hollywood Brown, I don't think, on what he can do and what he can bring to this team by playing him for one snap or 100 snaps in the preseason. You know what you're going to get with Hollywood Brown. You signed him to a free agent contract. There's no reason to trot him out there at all.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think they do. Hollywood Brown's coming into a new offense with a new quarterback.
What is he going to show you that he hasn't shown you in the 4 or 5 years that he's already been in the league?
He's in a new offense. It's not like Travis Kelce not playing. Like, this is a new offense for Hollywood Brown. He's got an entire new offense with a new quarterback, with new other guys, a new position. Like, he's not been a Chief forever. This is totally new for him. And the injury itself wasn't something that had anything to do with his injury past. So Kadarius Toney then shouldn't play because he's got a long injury history. Xavier Worthy literally injured himself in OTA, so he shouldn't play then. And again, if you just don't think these guys should play, I'm fine with that. I don't agree with that, but I'm fine with that.
But again, you're being far more general than what I'm saying. I didn't say that I needed all the starters to not play at all, but I think you have to take it case by case. And, you know, I don't think you can compare Hollywood Brown and Kadarius Toney and what their expectations are and what their responsibilities will be going into this season. Like, the expectation and, you know, the trust that the Chiefs are going to put on Hollywood Brown to help revitalize this wide receiver room that's been shaky for quite a while now, you've got a lot more on his shoulders if you're Andy Reid than you do for Kadarius Toney, regardless if their injury histories are similar, and they are. But I think that really you don't have that much to lose with Kadarius Toney by trotting him out there, even if he does have an injury past. I'm not suggesting that every single starter shouldn't play, but I think you take it on a case-by-case basis and you look at the player, you look at their longevity, you look at what they've maybe had in the past and what you've invested in them, what you need from them, what you're expecting from them in the regular season and the way, and you're very much like accurate when you say that, yeah, that injury could have happened in the regular season, but at least like those games matter. At least in that situation, you're putting the starters out there for a final score that does ultimately matter. This one didn't, and the other preseason games don't. And so why, if you are putting a lot of responsibility and trust on the shoulders of a new acquisition in Hollywood Brown, knowing his injury background, I don't know why you take that risk. I just don't.
I think it's revisionist to say that particular injury had anything to do with his injury history.
I'm saying his injury history should have dictated whether or not he played in the game. And I don't think that his injury history dictated for him to play in that game. I think it was irresponsible of Andy Reid and the coaching staff to put Hollywood Brown in that game, knowing what they've invested in him and what they're going to need to rely on him to be. And we've talked about it multiple times before, the threat that he can pose when he's on the field. But if he's not on the field, he doesn't pose that threat. And so I don't think that it was the responsible thing to do to put Hollywood Brown in that position in the first place.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to the IHOP hotline. Earl wants to chime in on this one, and we'll get to some video comments on the other side of the break. Earl, welcome in. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Real quick, you got a brand new receiver in with a new quarterback. Doesn't it behoove one for this trust and expectation to begin with them building a relationship in actual game environment? I mean,
I don't know. I think, Earl, you can do that in OTAs. You can do that throughout training camp.
Sure, you can. Man, dude. Yeah, Monday morning quarterback at its finest. He went down on one tackle, okay? And the good part is, from your deal, well, he's going to miss games. If it happens in the first game of the season, he's missing a month of real games. So let's pump the brakes on this guy, shouldn't we? He needs to build chemistry with his new quarterback.
He's going to build a lot of chemistry with his new quarterback, Earl, with a sling. He's wearing a sling the next 6 weeks or however long that is. He'll sure be able to build a whole lot of chemistry with Mahomes then.
Well, he sure can't do it just sitting there watching opposed to the game. Your causal ideas. And look, man, I can tell by your tone, you're going to bury your flag in the sand. But I'm going to tell you, man, you get out and play in those preseason games. Our first game's against the Ravens. Our second game's against Cincinnati. This is all in mind with starting the season fast. In the past, Andy has taken different approaches. We haven't started fast. Heck, the Titans came in and beat us at home when they weren't a good team on the first day of the season because Andy let up at camp. Look, man, injuries happen. My goodness. You got to build chemistry with him. The guy's out there for one series. It was a tackle. He went down hard. That's what happens. Can happen any day of the week on a football field. It has nothing to do with malpractice by Andy or
I'm going to take it a step further. The injury history for Hollywood Brown, it has absolutely nothing to do with that particular tackle. And B, that the injury history that he has are injuries that could just as easily happen in practice as they could in a game.
Sure.
So you can't sign Hollywood Brown and play scared because he has a history of foot and thigh injuries.
Put him in bubble wrap. How's Patrick going to depend on a guy that isn't on the field? And obviously,
that's my point exactly. He's not going to be on the field for the next month.
But he could be injured at any point. I mean, come on, man. Come on. You can't
tell me, Earl. You want to tell me, Earl, that one series, one throw and catch in a preseason game is going to build chemistry? Because I don't think
he got hurt.
But he was only going to play for probably maybe max the first quarter. You think that's going to build a whole lot of chemistry?
Yes.
He's playing No, it's not. Are you kidding me? He probably would have gotten maybe a couple more targets.
Let me say this.
Is that going to build any more chemistry?
Hang on.
That's the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard.
Andy Reid knows more about that than you do, than I do, than Earl does. If Andy Reid thinks it's going to build chemistry and Hollywood Brown and Patrick Mahomes think it's going to build chemistry, guess what? It's going to build chemistry because they say it is. The back-to-back Super Bowl champions say it
is. Yeah, they're going to, like I said, they're going to build a whole lot of chemistry with Hollywood Brown in a sling.
That's, they wouldn't have built any chemistry if he was on the bench playing scared.
But now you've got him. Now you've got him in, you know, in a situation where he's doubtful, I would suggest, for the start of the regular season. The risk of re-injury is high, and you absolutely did not have to put him in that position.
Here's what,
but you did.
Let's just not play him in the regular season so that they know he'll be there for the playoffs.
That's not what I'm saying.
Because the playoff games are more important. We can't play him in week one because he might get hurt and not be able to play in the playoffs. Can't do it.
That's not at all what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, but the Chiefs are telling you they need to build chemistry. And so they're gonna run him out there. Why play Patrick Mahomes? Why would you play Patrick Mahomes?
You have a broken clavicle at the expense of, you know, basically trying to like throw this chemistry, which we don't even know if that's exactly it. That's why he was out there. We don't know if that's the reason. Has anybody said that? Like, well, they really needed to build team chemistry, and that's why we put Hollywood
Andy
Brown
Reid
out
and,
there.
Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes wanted him out there. That's why he was out there. If they didn't need him out there, they wouldn't have him out there. They think they need him out there to be ready for week one.
If you want to give them the benefit of the doubt in the reasons why they put Hollywood Brown in that position, that is absolutely, you're right. You're welcome to give them the benefit of the doubt. But I'm actually going to be realistic and say in that particular situation,
because I don't recall
necessary.
It's
not
week.
Necessary.
We've known these guys were going to play for a long time now since when.
And how many times have I said I don't need to see
Hollywood Brown wouldn't play?
I said it multiple times.
Then
I don't need
play
to see
any
these
of them.
Guys
don't
play.
Play any of them. Then.
It doesn't have to be an all or nothing situation.
It does
be
by
on
what
a
you're
case.
Trying
no,
to
it
say.
Doesn't. It absolutely does not.
Can you come up with a list of players that aren't allowed to play in the preseason for me?
Let's take a look at their injury histories.
For real.
We'll talk about whether or not they should play.
Yeah, I that's what, maybe that. that would help because I don't understand why you're cherry picking only the guy that got hurt after he got hurt to say they shouldn't have played him. That's what it sounds like.
I don't
like.
Understand why you're generalizing the entire thing. Like that. Yeah, you say all the starters shouldn't play. That's not what I'm saying.
Let's take a quick break. 869-1240. We'll get to some of the video comments. What does it mean for the Chiefs? What does it bring to the table? I do think it's worth a discussion on the depth of the wide receiver room, certainly. Because, look, it's football. Guys are going to get hurt most likely, especially when we look at some of the players on the roster. Can they sustain this kind of stuff during the regular season? We'll have that. By the way, all this football talk is brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll come back. More on the Chiefs next on Sports Daily. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for fueling us up here. Steph enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee each and every day across the Odyssey family of studios. The reviews are mixed on the discussion on Hollywood Brown. We've got, you know, listeners, viewers of the video streams. Rick says, come on, Tommy, this could have happened the first regular season of the game. David said, I think Tommy is usually level-headed but missed this one. Ken is more with Tommy on building chemistry where you build it, says you build chemistry on one series, LOL. And on X, Chris says team Tommy here, sit the injury prone. I don't have a problem saying sit all your players in the preseason. I don't agree with it, but that makes more sense to me than trying to cherry pick it. Let me give you a couple more examples. So do we say anybody that's missed time, Joe Tooney didn't get to play in the Super Bowl and has missed time. Should he be playing in the preseason? Xavier Worthy injured a hamstring, the most re-aggravatable injury that there is in OTA. Should he be sitting Kadarius Toney? We couldn't go through his injury history in 2 hours on this program. So should he be playing? Patrick Mahomes has had an injury in the past. I don't think he's certainly not injury prone. I just don't know how you define like who's injury prone. Is it guys that have had recent injuries? Is it muscle injuries? Is it foot injuries? Like,
I don't think it's just the injury prone. I mean, I do understand where Chris is coming from saying sit the injury prone. I think that's one factor in it, but I think that there are several factors that you take into consideration before you put somebody out on the field in a meaningless game. And I think that one of those factors, yes, is their history. And look, let's face it. That injury that Hollywood Brown suffered in the preseason game was a freak injury.
And it has nothing to do with his injury.
It has nothing to do with it. Okay. But I do think that unfortunately there are some players out there that are just snake bitten. They are more prone to getting injured than others. They have a harder time staying upright on the field than other players do. Key point, Kadarius Toney has had much, much of a harder time staying healthy than other players on that team. Whether or not every injury is related to each other, I mean, I'm sure that they're not, but for whatever reason, the guy is kind of snake bitten. Hollywood Brown is kind of the same way, but I think that it's more than that. I think it's not just how often they've been injured or what kind of injury they've had. It's also what is their role on the team? What is the expectation for them coming into the team? Why are they on this roster? Kadarius Toney, I think we all know, is not going to be a high-level impact player for the Kansas City Chiefs. Does he have a role on the team? I think the jury is still out on that, but sure, there might be a way that they could fit him into the final roster where he could make a small difference here or there. But with what Hollywood Brown brings to the table, why the Chiefs brought him in, remember, he was their number one prized offseason acquisition. Tell me another player that the Chiefs acquired during the offseason that they put more stock into than Hollywood Brown. I'll wait, because I don't think
Xavier
that they
Worthy.
Did. There's not
a different Xavier
I'm
Worthy.
Talking about an offseason acquisition. There was not a bigger and more prized offseason acquisition than Hollywood Brown for the Kansas City Chiefs. So they're putting the expectations of him changing the way that entire wide receiver group operates. Xavier Worthy has a high ceiling, but it's unproven. And really, aside from those two guys, like, you return Rashee Rice, who, yes, has matured as far as what he can do on the field. We know what Travis Kelce can do. Okay, they brought back Mecole Hardman. They brought back Kadarius Toney. They brought back Sky Moore. So it's Xavier Worthy and it's Hollywood Brown as far as that particular room. And they're putting the expectations firmly on the shoulders of Hollywood Brown. Not that Xavier Worthy can't be an impact player. He can be, but he's unproven. So you put all of that together, the sum of all of those parts tell me that there's no reason why Hollywood Brown needed to be on the field in a meaningless preseason game. Bottom line, full stop.
Because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes thinks he needs to be on the field in a preseason game.
That doesn't mean that it's the right decision to make. So, I think the fact that now he's out for however many weeks tells you it was the wrong decision to make. And look, by the way, I love Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid is one of, if not the greatest coaches of all time. I love Patrick Mahomes, one of, if not the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But it's okay, breaking news, to say that they were wrong about something. That's fine. They don't just get the benefit of the doubt and a hall pass on every decision they make from here on out forever because they won a couple of Super Bowls. But that's not the way that this thing works. It's okay to say they made a mistake.
You can't be revisionist on it. So who doesn't need to play in the preseason? I need to know that now so that when they get hurt, you can't come back the next day and be like, see, I told you so. That was a stupid decision. I need to know now who you don't think should play.
I told you, Hollywood Brown didn't need to play.
He's the only one.
Because, again, there are multiple factors that come into play.
That's not philosophical. I'm asking you, he is the only player you think on the roster that should not be playing in the preseason.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt in game two, you can't say he shouldn't have been playing then.
Okay, that's fine. I think everything all combined, all the factors that come together tell me that there was one player in week number one that didn't need to play, and that was Hollywood Brown.
Now,
it might be different. It might be different moving forward. Now that you have Hollywood Brown on the shelf, you might need to protect the depth of that wide receiver room moving forward in the future preseason games. And so you might want to be a little bit more cautious, at least I would, with the remaining wide receivers you have, so they don't end up dropping like flies before the Ravens game to kick off the season. But you know what? Like, I think that really, at the end of the day, it's not just the injury issue. There are other factors that play into it. And all of those other factors lead me to believe that it was one player, it was Hollywood Brown.
There are plenty of teams in the NFL that just don't play players in the preseason. I think you would be better served to just go that route than to try and cherry pick it. I just don't believe in playing football.
I'm not cherry picking anything. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing.
But we didn't hear about any of this. We didn't hear about any of this until now, until after the freak injury of a shoulder on a tackle.
How many times did I say last week that
only Hollywood Brown should not play in this game? Never.
You specifically asked me about the starters, the wide receiver starters playing in the preseason game and how exciting it was going to be to watch them play even for just a series. And I said, no, I don't need to see the starting wide receivers playing in the first preseason game.
So then it's not just Hollywood Brown. Then it's Worthy. Then it's, then it's Rice. Then it's Kelsey. You don't want to see any of them play. You don't want to see any of them play, but you can't just pick him out after he gets hurt.
Okay,
so that's what I'm asking you. So you don't want the receivers to play?
Now, of course I don't now. At this point, moving forward, of course I don't.
What about, okay, so do you want Patrick Mahomes to play? Because if the receivers aren't out there, what's the point?
You want to go through every single starter?
I do, because I don't want to do this again. I don't want to go through it after the fact if somebody gets hurt.
But I don't need to defend every single starter and whether or not they should be playing in the preseason. I'm telling you that the one player, because of everything that plays into it, the contract he signed, the expectations he has. I mean, I've said it probably four or five times in the last 15 minutes. I don't have to keep going back to the reasons why.
Saying that about Hollywood Brown. I just want to know now that you're not saying that same thing about other players. So if they get hurt, you can't come back and play the blame game that they got hurt in the preseason. No, they shouldn't have been playing. I'd rather know that you don't think they should be playing now, not after they get hurt.
Now that you've got Hollywood Brown on the shelf,
yes.
I would absolutely say that Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, I don't need to see them in the remaining preseason games.
Okay, so they should not play. So then should Patrick Mahomes play?
If you don't have the starting wide receivers, then you know what? I think that I could probably still go either way on Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Like I could, you know, he wouldn't have the top three receivers if those guys don't play moving forward, which by the way, I think they will. I think we'll still see Xavier Worthy. I think we'll still see Rashee Rice.
We definitely will. I just want to know what you think about those decisions. Anybody else? Any Joe Tooney? He's been hurt. Good with him playing?
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Okay.
It's fine with me.
869-1240.
I don't think they signed. Did they just sign Joe Tooney to a contract?
He's one of the highest paid players on the team.
Yeah. Did they just bring him in to help this, you know, help that offensive line where it was absolutely terrible and they had to have him? I don't think they did.
Well, maybe they did when they brought him in 2 years ago.
Yeah. 2 years ago, they did. Do they feel like they've got good depth on the offensive line? I think they do. I think they feel like they got a pretty solid offensive line.
Let's talk about the depth at wide receiver when we come back, speaking of, because now it's shaken. And it is something with some of these players who do get hurt frequently over their careers. We love the top end of it. Is it depth or is it really thin? 869-1240 Sports Daily. We'll have more Royals talk for you as well coming up. Let's set up our first giveaway here. Let's do the Mac Gun Show, the Wichita Gun and Knife Show. So text right now for your chance to win Mac Gun Show tickets. Simply text the keyword Mac to the number 20357. Wichita Gun and Knife Show, hosted by Mac Shows, is scheduled to take place September 14th and 15th at Century 2 from 9 to 5 on Saturday, 9 to 3 on Sunday. Drawing ends today. You have until the end of this show, 11 a.m. to enter. Message and data rates apply. Again, text Mac to the number 20357 for a chance to win two tickets to the Wichita Gun and Knife Show. We'll come back. That wide receiver room, how big an issue is it this year if one of them inevitably goes down? We'll talk about that when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody, here to Sports Daily. Jake Ballbrock, Tommy Caster. Haven't made our way away from the big Chiefs injury. It really was one of, if not the most high-profile stories of the first week of the NFL preseason. We can get to that. Your thoughts on it on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. You can leave us your video comments as well, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks to those watching us on 12 News Connected. You can also reach out to us directly on social media. We get people send us emails occasionally. All kinds of different ways to get in touch with the show. So Brown's hurt. We can put whether he should have been out there behind us. He will see if he's out there by week one of the regular season. A recall on the Tyreek Hill portion of this. Tyreek Hill was able to come back and be his normal self. All the sports doctors on social media. It's not an injury that inhibits the way players can play. It has to heal and then it's there. But what about in the regular season? We love this, we love basically the starting three, and then you put Kelce in there, and it's basically the top four pass catchers of this offense. Kelce, Brown, Worthy, and Rice.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
But there's a decent chance these guys could miss some time. Now, Rice, we have never seen be hurt because he didn't play very much. Worthy, outside of his OTA injury, famously hasn't ever really been hurt over the course of his life. Brown has missed time. Kelce's getting older, certainly. How deep is this room, though? Because after you get through those, it's the same group of pass catchers, really, that gave Patrick Mahomes headaches. I don't know what to make of that, quite frankly. I've been thinking about that. We're certainly not comfortable with Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore being your top two pass catchers, and Mecole Hardman, let's say, and we'll call it three. But are we okay with them being your fourth, fifth, and sixth wide receivers as far as depth pieces? And it's an interesting question because we saw them put in those roles last year and they struggled. I don't know if they're catapulted into the same role psychologically, if it's the same thing. I think initially it was like, well, that's good when your old, top receivers are now way down the list. But what if they're just not good enough, right? What if they're still not good enough? And I do think that's an interesting question to think about.
Well, I mean, I do think that the depth is obviously much less deep now that you've got Hollywood Brown out for however many weeks. I don't think that we're going to see Kadarius Toney in a role where he's going to be put in a position to be a volume catcher or to really do, much of impact for the Chiefs. You left off a couple of names. Both Justins. Justin Watson's going to be on the depth chart somewhere. Justin Ross may get
probably fair.
I think Ross may get a final roster spot. Now, I don't think that he's going to be, anything incredible. I mean, the hype around him has really died down a lot. I think he had maybe four or five catches last season all told.
I don't think they can keep Watson and him, though, can they? Because I don't think they're going to carry 7 or 8 wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it may very well be, depth as far as numbers are concerned, but as far as impact, I don't know. I mean, I did think it was interesting when I did think it was interesting, and I don't know if they're going to put him in this position at all because we didn't see Tony on the field at all during the preseason game. But remember, in training camp, they utilized him a little bit as a running back. I don't know if they would necessarily do that, for good on the final roster, but. Look, I think that they've got strength in numbers, but I don't know as far as overall talent, if it's really there. I think that wide receiver room, as we know, let's go back to before the injury with Hollywood Brown. While it was improved and better, it was very top heavy. It was very top heavy with the top three guys. And then from there was probably a pretty significant drop off when you go from those three guys down to Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, I think Sky Moore is a roster cut possibility for sure, because Hardman and Toney provides you this, running back experiment, but Hardman, they don't bring Hardman back to me unless they're planning on using him in the return game. So those two guys give you a return game. Sky Moore right now doesn't really give him anything. You know what I mean? And that's unfortunate, because there is still a possibility he has some staying power in this league as an effect. I just don't know how it fits with the Chiefs anymore. I think Watson certainly is a guy you would imagine, just because of the relationship and the trust factor with Mahomes, stays. I don't think Ross is going to make it. But again, there aren't a lot of teams that go deeper than three that you feel good about, though. So I'm kind of late. I think we're all so sensitive. Is that the right word? We're all so leery of what happened last year that the alarm bells are going off. But then I think around the league and I'm like, well, there's really not any teams in football that are feeling good about their fourth and fifth wide receivers, I don't think. And so maybe it's not that big a deal. It's still going to be better than.
Yeah, but the difference is, I think there are other teams that have fourth and fifth receivers that maybe they don't feel great or comfortable or trust them.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But those receivers probably have some upside, or they're unproven.
And also
we've seen over and over and over and over and over. Right.
Yeah, I know.
We've seen these other guys just fall flat on their faces.
They've never had over the opportunity, but they've never failed at the opportunity. That's what I mean. I think we're a little gun shy to these guys. So I look, as far as a panic meter, maybe we should have started with this for Hollywood Brown's injury. Mine isn't going off at all. If it was a foot injury or one that he
sure is,
if it was a re-aggravation of one of those injury histories, I'd be panicking. That play, though, happens to any play. That play, if any player's tackled that way, they're getting hurt. They're going to break their collarbone. That's the reason where I'm like, okay, well, it sucks that he's hurt, but at least it wasn't a re-aggravation of some long historical injury that he's had with his legs and feet, which has kind of been his thing. We'll get to your question, Rodney, that you just sent in on the other side. Let's continue this, and we'll get to the Royals and the Twins coming up tonight and what happened over the weekend. 869-1240, Sports Daily rolls forward. We can't get away from the Chiefs. Hey, it's football time. Can you tell? We're excited about football. Here we go. We'll have contests for you. You've got one text giveaway. We'll get the other two set up in the second hour. All kinds of good stuff. Stick around. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily after this.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is... Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on hour number two. Lots of great chatter here. Healthy discussion around the Chiefs and their preseason opener. We'll get to the Royals in this hour as well. Let's set up our second giveaway. And we'll do it for an opportunity to see Tim Tebow. So right now you can win a pair of tickets to the All Ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser with Tim Tebow on August 16th and 17th at the Crown Uptown Theater. Shepherd's Way is a residential career development program. Committed to empowering young adults or adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, Tim Tebow will be joined by local legends, including Gene Stevenson, Phil Stevenson, PJ Forbes, Mike Pelfrey, Nate Robertson, Garrett Gould, and more. Just text the keyword, here's how you win, Tim, to 20357. Message and data rates apply. Winners will get some signed Tim Tebow memorabilia as well. So again, all of that to say, if you want to win, you can text the keyword Tim to 20357 right now to win that opportunity to go see Tim Tebow, meet some local legends. Tommy and I will be there helping with a different part of that event, getting to hang out with some of these local baseball legends. Mike Pelfrey will be on later in the week to talk more about this too. But a cool deal, helping the Shepherd's Way group, which we're big fans of. So check it out. Go see Tim Tebow. Enter to win right now. All right, Tommy, let's continue here with the Chiefs for a minute, and then we'll get to the Royals as well. A couple other questions. So Rodney, right before the break, asked, where's everything with Rashee Rice, and how many games do we think he's going to miss? I'm beginning to think zero, because when we didn't get a quick decision on Rashee Rice, it kind of tells me that the NFL is waiting for the legal process. And if the NFL is waiting for the legal process, I believe that the next step in the legal process for him does not happen until December. So if his next court date's not till December, right, we're already to the end of the regular season, and then you got to go through the court process, and then you got to get a ruling. I would imagine that it's probably a next year thing. I mean, I guess there is a worst case scenario where it's a quick court decision, the NFL rules quickly, and he like gets penalized at the end of the regular season or into the postseason. That would be a little bit unprecedented, so I'm not sure about that. But at least for the majority of the regular season, my gut now says, Rodney, it's just not going to happen until after that court situation plays itself out. I don't know if you have a different read on it, Tommy, but that the NFL could have ruled on this a long time ago when Rice basically admitted guilt. This tells me they want the entire story before they make their decision.
Yeah, I'm less concerned about him missing any game time this season. But as you mentioned, the worst case scenario is still out there because we haven't heard anything. I mean, it's been absolutely deathly quiet for a long time regarding this case. And so that worst case scenario, I guess, is still on the table. You know, that's lingering in the back of my mind that maybe he could miss some games this year. But I think, you know, more likely than not, he'll be playing this year with resolution, you know, at least towards the end of the season or maybe next offseason. So that's not of major concern to me. But I do think that now, you know, with a less deep wide receiver room, at least for a short period of time, yeah, I mean, that does go back into focus a little bit. Like, what happens if there is a quick decision from the NFL? I think it's very unlikely that the Chiefs will end up missing both Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice to start the season. I don't think that that's on the table probably at all, but you never know. Crazier things have happened. And that is something I think that, you know, maybe even just like slightly, you have to at least keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I do. And that's what brings in that depth question, right? Because we like it when they're all healthy. Can they sustain one injury? Sure. I think they'd be fine with one injury. Can they sustain two or more injuries? I think it gets a little dicey, but again, I would say this because I think we'd all agree, like, ooh, you know, you get down there and you're putting big roles on these guys. I would just say, remember that, and it's not apples to apples, but it's, I think, at least worth mentioning that group did win a Super Bowl last year, right? They still have Kelsey. They also drafted a young tight end they're really, you know, high on. They still have Isaiah Pacheco and a good offensive line for a running game if they needed it. I do think they are built for some depth for sure this year. And it brings up Carson Steele. Charles asks us about Carson Steele. The one position I would say, Tommy, where you see things in the preseason, you're like, whoa, that have like real staying power. It's a running back, right? Like we all can't, I don't care what string players they are. When you're absolutely out there just bulldozing people, that's a complimentary and a good fit, you would think, with Pacheco, who does that. Remember, Isaiah Pacheco burst onto the scene because he was bulldozing people in the preseason, right? Like, that's how he sort of, we didn't know who Isaiah Pacheco was. Dude out of Rutgers, it was like, okay, whatever. Glad we got Rutgers. And then you see him play, and you're like, whoa, that could play. Carson Steele's kind of the same, at least to me. Like, yeah, that guy has some staying power here. Let's get him in the mix. Would you rather see that or, you know, and I don't know all the other parts of him, but that's probably, and this isn't even hyperbole, I would say probably the biggest name to watch the rest of the actual preseason games, like if you're going to watch the whole things, is Carson Steele. As far as a player that could end up having a big impact on the team, most of the time, we're not going to see most of the, you know, what we see in the preseason is totally irrelevant to things. Him continuing to be awesome, I think, as far as things that could actually impact the roster, would be one of them to watch the rest of the preseason.
I don't want to take anything away from Carson Steele because that was fun to watch. You know, but that, come on, like we're talking one preseason game. Like that happens a lot where you've got a player that, you know, comes out of nowhere that nobody's talking about and they end up having, you know, an impactful preseason game or, you know, in the case of a lot of these guys, an impactful series, an impactful quarter. That's great. And again, I don't want to take anything away from Carson Steele because watching him was impressive in the way that he was able to bulldoze defenders. But keep in mind, we're talking about in the same way that this was, you know, the backup players for Kansas City, it was the backup players for Jacksonville as well. Now, if he can make a roster spot, it's been a while since the Chiefs have had a fullback-ish type position player on their roster. Anthony Sherman would have been the last one. So it's been a minute. And that does add a different kind of wrinkle to the offense for Kansas City that they haven't really had. Now, of course, Isaiah Pacheco bulldozes defenders all the time. But that's a different kind of, you know, different kind of role if he does play fullback or whatever that is. So I mean, I'm not suggesting that he won't make the team. He could. And I think that what he did on Saturday is the first step in that process of him doing so. I'm not ready yet to say that he's going to be somebody that will work his way into meaningful game time when the actual regular season starts. But that being said, it was fun to watch him perform on Saturday and get into the end zone.
Where is the one part of the offense that I think has frustrated the fans more than any other part of the offense? It would be short yardage, right? It would be, why have they struggled in short yardage? Maybe this is their answer to that. And the other thing that you like, the other thing that you really like about it, and this is why I think he is a very critical name to watch, again, relative to the preseason, is because Isaiah Pacheco has a style of play that will get him hurt, probably, right? It's a pretty good likelihood that he will miss time over his career. Now, I'm not saying long-term or anything like that. He's a violent runner. Violent runners, typically, things can happen and they miss a little time. That's what I'm reminded of. They're not even, like, maybe he adds a wrinkle and can play fullback too, but I just think stylistically he could keep that piece of the offense going more so than the other running backs. The other running backs feel like they do a little bit different things than Isaiah Pacheco. That kind of looks like Isaiah Pacheco out there to me. Like it's the old Simpsons thing where Nelson picks him up and like goes out to intentionally run dudes over when he doesn't have to. That's what that. And so, you know, what's funny about it is that's what everyone thought the rugby dude was going to be. Zammit. Like that's what they kind of envisioned him being. And I'm like, well, what if Carson Steele takes his job?
Yeah. But just remember again, when Carson Steele was in the game, they were taking on the reserves for the Jaguars.
Correct. Correct.
You know, so let's pump the brakes a little bit as far as he can be this compliment to Isaiah Pacheco. Like he could be, sure. I think the jury is still out on that. There's nothing saying that he's going to get a roster spot.
No.
Like I could see a guy like Carson Steele maybe being a practice squad player. Like I think that the Chiefs will want to hang on to him because I think that they see, you know, obviously that potential in him. I think it was really important that there was one play, and it wasn't even the touchdown play, but there was one play that I recall specifically where the Chiefs needed to get, I don't know, 2 or 3 yards. And it goes to your point about short yardage situations. That had always been a situation where it was like, man, what are they going to do? Like, they don't really have
crazy triple motion.
They're going to run something weird where it's like they've never been able to just run the ball up the gut and get the first down. They were able to do that with Carson Steele. Is that sustainable? Is it something that he can do against first team defenses in the NFL? I don't know. We just don't know that. So it was a breath of fresh air, I think, to see that. But again, I think we need to provide that context of what it
he'll
actually
have to elevate the name. I say name to watch because it's like, does he get reps then against first or second team defense? Like, does he just move up the ladder here?
He could.
and get some reps. That would be like of meaningful things that we will see in the preseason. That might be one of them now.
Yeah. And you know, it's going to the wide receivers really quickly. I looked this up because I feel like it's really important and an important note to take a look at. What was the biggest issue with the wide receiver room last year overall?
Drops.
Like what was the thing that they did?
Drops. It was drops. Yeah.
Right. It was drops. It was 100% dropping the football. And that wasn't just Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, by the way. That was Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice had like a 15% drop rate last season. Travis Kelce had drops.
Yeah.
Hollywood Brown, the number one reason they brought him in, his career drop rate is 3.6%. Yep. His drop rate last year was under that. It was under 3%. That's why they had Hollywood Brown come to the team. That's why they brought him in and signed him to a free agent contract. If they don't have him on the field and his reliability, and I don't care if we're talking about short yardage situations to move the chains or if we're talking about deep balls, one way or the other, he did not drop the football. If you don't have him on the field for any games that actually matter, or for at least week one for games that matter, then you're right back to where you were before as far as only having wide receivers on the roster that have a history of dropping passes. Now, will they drop it at the same rate they did last year? Probably not. And MVS is not on the team anymore. And they do have Xavier Worthy. I don't know what that drop rate is.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think that that's a major concern and that's a major sticking point on why, you know, you'd want to try to like prevent anything from happening to Hollywood Brown because of his reliability in catching the football.
Well, he's not going to play anymore, right? So the hope now is that he's just back by week one, which I do think is absolutely on the table. I think without, you know, when you can, he will just absolutely shut it down. And it is pretty black and white on that particular recovery, right? It's not a muscle. It's a broken bone. And so when it heals, it heals. And I think at least from what I've seen, from all the, because there's 1,000 of them now, sports doctors on social media trying to analyze this stuff. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's back in week one. I don't know how much, they're not going to do anything wild and crazy and risky, but they do play the Lions and then they play the Bengals. And, you know, like you don't want to, you got to be able to do your thing too. But Worthy, it's funny because it was like they brought in Brown and then it's like, oh, well, they don't need to take a receiver early again this year. And then they do it anyway. And now you're kind of glad they did. Right now it's like, okay, maybe it is nice to just have all the depth there. And they, you know, you still have some concern about left tackle and we can leave the Chiefs here unless you had any other things to take away other than Suamataya. Got to start.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's essential too. I mean, that's something to keep our eyes on. I mean, the fact that, and I know Wanya Morris again, dealing with, you know, some different injuries, but Andy Reid utilized Suamataya in the same way that he utilized the other starting offensive linemen. He played the first series, basically had a handful of snaps, and then they shut him down. I think we're looking at, with Suamataya, the guy who's going to be the starter at left tackle.
I think so, too. We'll see with Wanya Morris. And again,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
They'll use them both. Almost certainly. They will need the depth there on the line. They always do. And there's nothing more important to the team outside of Mahomes than protecting Mahomes. And so depth there is even far more important than depth at receiver, even though that gets all the, you know, the flash and the flare. It's funny trying to get ready and follow fantasy football right now, Tommy, when it comes to those receivers, because there are 1,000 different opinions on which one of them becomes the alpha. And now I do think you can include Travis Kelce in this now, where it was always just like a foregone conclusion where it's Kelce. The things Kelce is saying is sort of telling me, like, he is comfortable with lesser role than what he had last year. I get the impression last year wore him down a little bit more than he's used to. So, like, the alpha, trying to find the alpha of pass catchers as far as, like, who commands the most targets, I have no idea. Like, you could literally make a case for any of them as far as Brown, Worthy, Rice, Kelce. Like, you can make a case for any of them. I don't know the answer to that question. It's a critical fantasy football question, because if you can find the answer to that, you might have some tremendous value. I would say the odds are Rice, just because we've seen him do it. I don't think he has an injury history to miss games, which is the problem with Hollywood Brown. I do think when Hollywood Brown's on the field, he'll command the ball because he just, like you say, he's a very trustworthy wide receiver when he's out there. But there's one in the books. We'll have another preseason game, and we'll see if they adjust. We'll have availability now today. We should from Andy Reid to see if there are any adjustments, and he may get asked the question about Hollywood Brown and playing him. I would imagine he'll have the answer if they're not going to play scared. But we'll see. We'll go over all that over the next few days as well. Lots of good stuff. Jad has some Mitch Holthus audio, and we'll get into this. We'll get into this later in the show, though, because it's about the kickoff. It's a little bit unrelated. We can get into the kickoff, but we do need to talk some Royals here. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll touch on Royals, because it was a big weekend, but it's an even bigger series to start this week. That's where we'll head next on Sports Daily. It's Jacob Albrock. It's Tommy Caster. Glad to be here with you. The IHOP hotline is open, brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back all-you-can-eat pancakes through September 15th. 869-1240 is that number. We'll have Royals talk next on Sports Daily.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you today. We've talked exclusively Chiefs, which is interesting because I had to go back and play catch up on the Chiefs. I was actually at the Royals game Saturday, so I missed the preseason opener. Tommy texts me as just a total letdown on the Hollywood Brown. I'm like, you gotta be kidding. You gotta be kidding me. One play, and then I saw it, and I was like, oh, crap, that's really unlucky. 869-1240, Royals fans, if you want to chime in, all this baseball talk. You got the Royals baseball available for free right here on KFH, home of the Royals, and on the Odyssey app. Tune in. Broadcast tonight starts at 6:30 on the road facing the Twins. You can download the Odyssey app. Search KFH. If you're not in your car, you can listen to it anywhere. It's a big series, obviously. When we look back at the Cardinals series, I was fine with it. You know, they kind of let you down Friday, but then Saturday was a comeback win, an exciting win, and it was a blast to be, you know, that was what's so funny about that. I've been with that team to two World Series. I was with them for what felt like 6 months over 2 years. And I had never been to Kauffman as a fan. And so I went, we had the three kids. They were loving it. My son was, he's only five. So he was kind of losing it there toward the end. But what kept him engaged is the scoreboard. Every time it would say "get loud," those poor souls around us. I joke all the time that my son is going to be the front man of a rock and roll band. Loudest voice I've ever heard. And he was going nuts. And then his oldest sister kind of got on board with it. So we're screaming and yelling and jumping. It was fun. It was an exciting game. You had a Salvi home run, and we had a couple of triples in the game for them to get excited about it. It was good. It was a good time. And the Royals got that win. They needed that win. Certainly would have made for a bad taste if they didn't get it, Tommy. And now, four games back, a half a game behind the Twins, which is what you look at the most directly, with three games against them straight up. You just like to win the series, because if you win the series, you will pass them in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, going back to what you said, they absolutely had to have it on Saturday. And I think that really knowing that their backs are up against the wall, to be able to split that series with the Cardinals and split the season series against the Cardinals. I mean, that I think that all played into it for sure. Michael Wacha had another really good start. The bullpen looked okay. Not anything incredible, but they were able to combine really good starting pitching with timely offense in the seventh inning to be able to pull ahead and ultimately get the win. That's what you wanted to see from Kansas City. It was kind of a textbook win, I think, from the Royals on Saturday, kind of what we've come to expect from them leading into this series starting tonight. They had yesterday off, of course. There are some injury issues that I think will that bear watching as they move forward, and specifically in this three-game set. But overall, I think that really them able to salvage that series split, that should propel them, I would think, decently well starting tonight against Minnesota.
Yeah, and in the bullpen, Ursig is a weapon, man. He is an absolute weapon. Inherited a couple of runners, gave him, a multi-inning save, basically, in that game. So he's a weapon. He's got rest. You utilize him. The reality is you want to just win the series. And we've talked about this before, on the road like this, just don't get swept. Right? Because a sweep is catastrophic. A sweep, you lose three games in the standings. And it is, for casual fans, like, you go into these head-to-head series and the outcomes are kind of crazy because they go by twos, right? You can either gain three games. There's either very little that happens in a head-to-head series or a whole lot that happens. It's all over the place. A sweep either direction creates chaos. If it's just, if you lose one, you're going to lose one game in the standings. And over the course of that series, it's only one game, right? Because you're playing them directly. So the reality is, on the road, you got to just make sure you take one of the next three. If you win the series, it'll be a good feeling because you can pass them in the standings. But boy, if you could sweep this series, it could have, that's the kind of thing that has, in a positive way, the impact when you look back on it, of a series that made a whole lot of difference. And I will say too, it lines up really well for the Royals. I mean, you get your three, what you feel like are aces, and Wacha may have entered himself back into that conversation. And I think it's fair to say Wacha / Singer, take him, take whoever you want, but over the course of the season, Singer's numbers are certainly better, but you get your guys in this series that you'd want to have. You get Singer today, you get Lugo, and then you get Reagans. And the Twins, probably, I don't know who this Matthews guy is that's projected to pitch second game. I don't think he's had a start yet. But Ober and Lopez, certainly two guys they feel good about. It's kind of good on good here for this series for the Royals.
Well, it is. And, offensively, Minnesota has found ways, to provide that offensive spark that they've needed. And that's been something that I think started slow for them. But over time, especially in the last 2 months or so, they've found their offensive spark. They've been able to get really solid pitching. and find their way back into, you know, a position where they're competing for a division title in the same way that the Royals are. They're both chasing the Guardians still, but the Guardians have slipped up, you know, over the last month or so. So it really is crucial in a variety of different ways. I think the one thing that the Guardians are hoping for is that I would think that the Guardians are probably hoping for a sweep in this series one way or the other, because if you keep things status quo, then you've got both teams that are still within striking distance. If one team sweeps the other, then that's going to make the loser of that sweep fall further behind the Guardians. And then you only, you know, have maybe one team that's within striking distance right away. But the Twins do lead the season series against the Royals 5-2. So if the Royals can sweep this on the road, then it'll be a split overall 5-5. I think that's easier said than done, obviously. I do think the one thing that is going to be concerning for the Royals, and I alluded to this a moment ago, is the injury bug. And Michael Massey was pulled from the lineup, and you know, he was out of the game on Saturday. That's going to bear watching. I mean, he's been on the IL a couple of different times this season. He hasn't hit for average recently, but he does provide pop in the lineup. He's got 10 home runs overall, and he provides really solid defense and kind of joins that double play combo with Bobby Witt Jr. very well. So if he misses any extended time, I think the last I looked, I don't think the Royals had made a decision about whether or not they're going to put him on the IL or if he was just kind of, you know, out of that game once, and maybe the rest day yesterday will help. I'm going to really be paying attention to if he's in the lineup tonight or if the Royals end up making a decision about him long-term. If he does end up on the IL, That's definitely a disappointment, because, you know, I know that they have, obviously they brought in Paul DeJong, traded for him, so he can provide that depth and versatility, but you definitely would rather have Michael Massey, I think, in the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness they traded for DeJong, for sure. It changes the lineup, because DeJong has more pop, but is a little, you know, they don't do the same things offensively, but I think at least they got DeJong, because here's the thing, Frazier now, they've found a weapon in Frazier to bring him off the bench, right? Late in the game, he's become this absolute stud pinch hitter, and I don't think you want to take him out of that role directly either, if you don't have to, and probably we'll just see DeJong play there. Ken brings up something, and we can talk about it because it's like on accident become one of our favorite topics this season. He says he's rethinking Mikel Garcia in the leadoff spot, not because he gets on base at a high percentage, he does not, but he's pointing out the stolen bases when he gets on, and that's a good point. My problem though, Ken, with Garcia is he strikes out too much, man. And those are like worthless outs. And that's like Garcia. But the problem for Garcia to me has always been he's too prone to a worthless out at the top of the order. Right. And he doesn't provide, like Bobby Witt Jr. strikes out a lot too. And Salvador Perez strikes out a lot too, but they obviously provide different and other things. Mikel Garcia to me can't just be a leadoff hitter because he's fast, and he is, and he's really fast. I'd rather see that at the bottom of the lineup. Right. I'd rather see somebody more prone to be able to get on base. I still think Freddie Fermin's the answer right now on the roster. His on base percentage is so dang high, which is funny to think about that guy being in that spot. A couple other names to watch, and Hunter Renfroe has become such an effective part of this offense, but I don't think you want him out of the middle of the lineup. Right. You got to kind of leave him where he is. Since he's come over, DeJong's been good, like as far as getting on base, and it's a very small sample size. But I think if you're asking, like, do you trust a vet like DeJong up there or Mikel Garcia, I think I'd go with the vet. I think I would. I'd still go Freddie Fermin. You want to talk about productive outs? That dude always feels productive in some way. That would be my answer there. But they'll just mix it and match it, and it's working. It's okay. They'll just mix and match it. And Mikel Garcia is a little hotter right now. So if you want to ride that hot hand with him, I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. There is some appeal to Ken's point to having somebody on second base for Bobby Witt Jr. I do like that early in a game, certainly.
And it's going to be riding the hot hand. We know that Quatrero has, you know, shown that, you know, multiple times that it's not, we could say we like one guy in that role and he'll put him in that role for one game and then he'll switch it to somebody else. I think you're going to see, you know, probably three or four different players that are going to rotate. They're going to continue to rotate. That's just the way that Matt Quatrero is going to manage that leadoff position. I am glad, and there have been some similarities in the way that Quatrero was handling the leadoff spot and the way that he was handling the closer role for a while. It was right, kind of trying to ride the hot hand. It does look like Lucas Ursig is going to be that guy moving forward. And I think that that's important. And that's an important note. If they can have some stability in that closer role, that's going to certainly help them not only in this
season, but moving forward. Harvey's a little...
Yeah, they put him on the IL. He's got back.
Oh, I didn't see the official designation. Yeah. Okay, I knew he had a tight back.
The 15-day IL. And so, I mean, he hadn't been pitching well anyway, but he's on the IL. So, I don't know how long they're going to shut him down for. It is. I think you need to get him healthy, for a playoff push and, games in September and beyond. I think it's going to be Ursig's role moving forward.
I think it should be. I think he and Bubic back there need to be the back two guys. And eventually you'd like Harvey to get back there too. In the short term, Will Smith's probably earned the opportunity to, and I know it was a little rocky last time, but he's probably earned the opportunity to give you maybe that seventh inning bridge guy, but certainly you can still go long. And those are kind of interchangeable. I'm a little leery about Zerpa right now, but yeah, Ursig needs, he's got to be the guy. He's got to be the guy. And Bubic can get you there. Those two, and we'll see it. Look, they're both fully rested for this series right now. The only thing about Ursig is he has the ability to go multi-innings. And so I am a little bit curious to see how Quatraro values that versus penciling him into a ninth inning role. Just like the other night, two runners on. I mean, there was no doubt who they should go to when Walk allowed those two runners on, in the seventh inning. It's like, you got to bring Ursig in now. Who do you trust to get these outs with the traffic? Who's got the electric stuff? Like, it's Ursig. So then, what if that happened in the sixth inning? Wouldn't the answer still be Ursig? Because then he's not going to close the game. So I that will be worth watching. I think no matter how they're deployed, he has moved up the depth chart to most valuable reliever at the moment. We'll just call it that. I don't know what innings they're going to use him in. That will be a really curious process to go through for Quatraro. But the game tonight against Minnesota, again, it's a 6:40 start. They start him a little earlier up there in Minnesota. So we'll have that. It is Singer. It is Lopez. I would tell you that I don't think there's going to be a piece of this that I would mess around with from a betting perspective. Singer's hard for me to bet because it's hard for me to guess when he's going to be like lights out, shut it down, electric. The one thing I would say though, Tommy, Rose are +140 on the money line. +140 on the money line tonight. So if that's of interest to you, and even more than that, not only are they +140 on the money line, if you switch that over to the run line, like if you like them to win the game, they're +210 on the run line. So I don't know if I'll be able to stay away from that. I'm going to probably browse the sites and see if any of them have little bonuses or boosters, and I probably won't be able to help myself. But you just don't get the Royals on the money line at plus money very often. But as other than that, it'd be just kind of a dart throw. I probably am not going to bet much on this game other than maybe take a swing at that just because it's a plus money opportunity.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've got that juiced up a little bit, and I know why. I get it. I understand why. The Twins are hot right now.
They're hot, and Singer's unpredictable.
Yeah. I mean, it could go either direction, and the Twins are 7-3 in their last 10. The Royals have given up a decent amount of runs in their last, five or six games. And so, it kind of goes back and forth on there. And Singer can do one of two things. We've seen it multiple times. He can either pitch brilliantly or he can blow up and give up a bunch of runs.
Well, and it's not, it's what's funny about him. It's not even that like he's unpredictable so much as like, we know what he does. He's going to get in there, be efficient as hell. And the other team will either be on it and they'll have 10 hits. Or he'll get into the eighth inning because he's so efficient. He's one of my very favorite pitchers to watch for that reason. I mean, he moves quick. He navigates it. He doesn't waste any time. Like, he's pitching his game one way or the other, but it is prone to like a 10-hit outing from the opposition, which I think is what we saw the last time. I think it was 10 hits. But he did navigate. He still was able to navigate later into the game because he just doesn't throw a lot of pitches per inning. It's strange because, he's still capable of striking people out. He's just, I love watching his games. because you know that it's going to be action-packed and move quickly. He's like the poster child to me of the new era of baseball. The pitch, like, let's get the ball in play. Let's move things along here. I love watching Brady Singer pitch. That game will go tonight. Before we take a break, and we'll come back with some of that Mitch Holthus audio on the kickoffs. What did we think of the kickoffs? I was at the Royals game, so I didn't see it for the Chiefs, and I have not gone back and watched them. But we'll hear what Mitch Holthus said. I want to get Tommy's take on it because I know he was more locked into the game. But before we do that, our last giveaway here is for some HTO, our text to win contest, our third of the day, and you can win a free iced tea from HTO either in East or West Wichita. You can also win a free rain coffee, iced, hot, whatever you like on the coffee drinks. HTO's got you covered there as well at any of the Metro locations. All you got to do is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That's TEA to the short code 20357. We'll come back. We'll get to that Mitch Holthus audio. More on the Chiefs when we return on Sports Daily.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. We've been talking a lot about the Chiefs preseason opener. What about the Royals here as they begin a huge series against Minnesota? Really looking forward to that baseball. I'm looking forward to the preseason being over with. I hate the preseason very much. It's just like this tease we deal with for about, at least it's only three games now. The NFL needs to get to the preseason only being two games. Who doesn't want that? I can't imagine the players don't want that. Just pay them another game check, whatever. But can we get rid? Like, can we just get it down to two? And then this would be pretty easy, right? If you're the coaches, I feel like it would be much easier. You either just don't play them at all, or you play them in like a quarter of one of the games, and then you just get more practice time. I think it's coming. Four, remember when it was four? That was ridiculous. Now three is still feels ridiculous. It's like, we got to do this two more times. Come on now. But we'll get to it. So one of the things though, I think in preseason where it is a benefit to these teams is trying to figure out this kickoff situation. Before we get to this Mitch Holthus audio on it, Tommy, what did you think? Cause I did not see it. I went back and watched the highlights of the actual playing. I have not gone back to look at the kickoff at all. So what did you make of it now, kind of in the first chance to really get a look?
Well, I thought that the special teams unit for Kansas City looked really confused on how it actually worked. And that's a little surprising to me because I feel like Dave Tobe is usually on top of those things, the special teams coordinator. But, it was the very first time that they were in actual game speed with these new rules. So I think that they'll figure it out. I think every team will. But we saw a safety, because of it. We saw, different things happen, and not just in this game, but in several games across the NFL, where, it's going to take the players and the coaches a little bit of time to actually figure out and understand how it's all going to work.
Yeah. And that's where, this is actually the preseason. That'll probably be if I bet you the teams will, appreciate and like cherish that opportunity.
Yeah, that's the only thing from the preseason that I'm like, okay, they probably do need this time to get used to that part of it. When you've got a fundamental change in game rules, you probably should have a couple practice games to figure out how it's all going to work. But other than that, I have no use for the preseason at all.
Yeah, and they'll play the, you kind of have to play your special teams. It's not like you have backup special teams players. You kind of just have to play your special teams players. So then, on that, let's talk about the kickoff rule. Here's a conversation. Stephen Ted asked Mitch this morning about the kickoff. Here's what Mitch thought, because remember real quick, back to our conversation with him a long time ago, we never did follow up with him, and we'll have to do that. Dan Israel is going to start joining us soon too, on the program, but this was a big deal for Mitch Holthus. He thought this was a massive impact. So here's his conversation with Ted this morning.
I'm almost surprised you're still not on the air trying to explain the safety and the kickoff rule.
If people follow me on Twitter, I gave it 24 hours, but honestly, Jacksonville found a loophole in the law. It's clunky, I think, is what one NFL writer said. But it's two, like I said on the air, on your air, I said two Revolutionary War skirmish lines staring at each other like 5 yards apart. But the guys can't, nobody can move until the ball hits the ground or is received. So Harrison Butker, I did catch up with Butt. He's had to completely change his kicking style. And I asked him with this new kickoff rule how he's had changed his whole mind, body, soul as it comes to kickoffs.
I've worked on it a ton, especially this training camp. Normally we have kickoff return during practice, and then we're doing it in the walkthrough after. And the biggest thing that I need to work on is hitting these low line drive kicks. So your whole career, from high school, college, to my first 7 years in the league, you want to hit high hang time balls as far as possible. Now you're like a golfer. It's a finesse shot. You want to hit it, you know, sub 3 second hang time, try to get it on the ground, create hang time, because I think what the fans maybe don't realize is when that ball hits the ground, the kickoff team can now move. So if I can get a ball on the ground that the returner has to run to pick up, well, now the kickoff team is probably down to the 35-30 yard line, and we can really pin them down close. But I also have to make sure my approach to the ball looks the same, so the returners won't know if I'm kicking the ball to the left or to the right, and ideally that ball is outside the numbers and it's a line drive getting on the ground.
I mean, it adds so much importance to that play. That's why I like it, by the way. The kickoff and a punt, and we're not going to punt very often anymore. You can't make a team punt. But returns are a big part of the game. Some of the most exciting things we think about when we think about football have come with returns. The Chiefs know that better than anybody with Dante Hall, right? So I love that they're trying to make it an important play. It does feel like this is a way that you know, the reason they took it out is because of high impact collisions and all that. I think this checks all the boxes. This does check all the boxes to me. They got to learn how to do it. And it's funny to hear Butker say he's got to relearn how to do it, because yeah, it's different than what it was. But I do like that it adds some importance to special teams, to the kicker, to the return game. I think, and we'll see it play out. We can change our mind on this, but I think I like all of it. I think it's going to make football better. Certainly, and certainly more interesting, which is always the goal.
I don't have a problem with it as long as once we actually get into the regular season that the Chiefs are executing at a level that they're comfortable with, where it's not harming them. And in the preseason game on Saturday, it harmed them. Now, again, it was their very first time with these new rules and figuring it all out, and there are going to be growing pains in the process. I totally understand that. But once you get into games that actually matter, I just want them to be up to speed enough to a point to where, even if they can't, like Mitch Holthus said, Jacksonville kind of found a loophole and exploited that. Even if they're not doing that, even if they're not using it to their advantage, where it's not actively hurting them and getting points on the board against them, that's really all I care about. As long as everybody knows how it all works by then, I'm fine with it.
It's going to be so funny listening, like when you're watching a game, especially a game in prime time where like the whole nation's watching, trying to like get broadcasters like navigating what's actually happening. Like I'm going to give a hall pass to every broadcast crew to just throw their hands up in the air and be like, look, I don't know, man. Like, we got to just see what they say. I don't understand this yet either. Yep. Again, we do. We have to retrain our brains to like what we're seeing. And I think the end game is the correct one. And I think, you know, whether this is the ultimate solution, I'm not sure. And I'm sure they can tweak and do whatever. Getting the return game involved in football again is good for football. It makes different players relevant. It adds a wrinkle. It evens the playing field, which the NFL is always interested in, right? You always want to be trying to do that, give every team a chance. And it's a major advantage if you're good at it. If you can be good at it, you already have a leg up on your competition. Makes me wonder if an old special teams guy like John Harbaugh and the Ravens like thrive in this. They've got Tucker, and Tucker, you know, is great at field goals. I don't know what kind of kickoff artist he is, but you know, those teams that have always been really good at special teams, and the Chiefs have been good at special teams. Like, how much of an advantage will that be for them? Because I think it's pretty dang advantageous if you can get good at this. Your starting field position will always be better. Maybe you get a cheap touchdown on a return. Maybe you position your defense way better than the opposition is. I think it has a chance to be a really big deal for the league this year.
Well, you've got a ton of different outcomes every single time that the kickoff happens, where before it was really rare that you had situations that would definitely impact one team or the other. You might have a return man break off a return every once in a while, but it wasn't consistent, right? There's the opportunity here for a wide variety of outcomes every single time.
Oh, and there's no way around it either. Like, you can't just fake it, right? Like, you gotta get it right. Dan Israel, I just heard from Dan. We will start his segments next week. They've got some traveling to me, so our regular weekly Chiefs segments with the Chiefs broadcast crew begin next week. We're excited about that. All right, we'll come back. We'll tell you what you can listen to on the network today when we return.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.